Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
it
taken care
forever,
of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Couple minutes after 4 o'clock on the Fan, Evan and Tika will get right back to your calls. 888-808-1019. It's Tuesday. So my brain has to go a little bit earlier in terms of thinking about the Jets. Usually you kind of ease into the week, you have some thoughts on the upcoming game, and then your opinions, good or bad, start to really harden as the week goes on. And the New England Patriots are a franchise that has certainly tortured me and many others over the years. I'll never forget 2 years ago. Tiki didn't know me at the time. Well, he knew me. He just didn't work with me. I came on the radio because I truly believed it and thought not only were the Jets going to beat the Patriots, the quote I used was, they're going to take their soul. I really thought that. Mm-hmm. And obviously I was wrong, because the Jets lost both of those games to New England 2 seasons ago, one of which included a horrible roughing the passer penalty that negated a pick six that would have basically ended the game. So there were times in which I was very positive. Last year you got to know me, and I was always negative. We never beat the Patriots.
Right.
This is a disaster. I hate this. And I could tell it would wear on you.
Mm-hmm.
Stop caring about the last 37 meetings and focus on the now.
Right. History is not an indicator of what's going to happen this year.
So you may enjoy what I'm about to tell you.
Go ahead.
My early impressions on Thursday have all to do with football and nothing to do with emotions.
Okay.
I really do, because the fact it's a Thursday night, the fact that I'll be in the building, the fact that Joe will be in the building, which I know has caused some negativity over the years with the Jets always losing. Like, I'm not even thinking about that.
Yeah.
The Patriots history, Teak, not even thinking about it. But I will tell you what worries me. What worries me is that the New England Patriots in the first 2 weeks have done two things that kind of scare me. And that's how I'm going to phrase it, Tiki.
Go ahead.
Kind of scare me. Number one, they've run the football incredibly
right.
well.
Ramondre Stevenson's been so good.
Stevenson has looked good. Antonio Gibson has looked yep. good. They have a legitimate rushing attack. The Jets have struggled at times to stop that. Did a lot better in week two, mm-hmm. no doubt. But you can see that being a big defensive bugaboo. Here's the other thing. If you ask yourself, why did the Jets win on Sunday? Like, you could say, well, Aaron Rodgers really smart, blah, blah, blah. Because they forced two incredibly important turnovers.
Yep.
That were basically created because Will Levis...
Mm-hmm.
Kind of an idiot. Okay?
Trying to be too Supermanish.
Too Supermanish. Jacoby Brissett, in a lot of ways, is not Will Levis.
No.
And I'm saying that as a compliment. You know how many times the New England Patriots have turned the ball over through the first 2 weeks?
None.
Zero. And that kind of concerns
That's
me.
Why you start a vet.
Yeah.
Drake May and whatever, sixth pick, fifth pick, whatever it was, sixth pick. And third pick. Right, Giants were six. You take Will Levis with the third pick. Not Will Levis. You take Drake May with a third pick. And a lot of NFL cities, kids starting.
Yeah.
That's just the reality of the young quarterbacks in the NFL. The Patriots, and you got to give Jared Mayo a ton of credit, said, don't throw him out in an unideal situation. But also, me as a new head coach, I kind of want to win now.
Yeah, and you know what? As an opponent, if Drake May was the Patriots quarterback, I would have a lot more confidence mm-hmm. going into this game because ultimately, and I think this is going to be the thing for the Jets earlier this season, in the early parts of this season, it's not going to be pretty.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be easy. And maybe we had a false arrogance that, oh, this is going to be easy. We got Aaron Rodgers. The defense was top seven last year. Like, this is a flawed football team, but still a football team that has a chance to be great. Those two things can be the same. They are a flawed football team right now with a chance to make everything work when it matters the most. And so these wins early, like the one they had against Tennessee on Sunday, is not going to be easy. And so my early impression on Tuesday afternoon, 48 hours before the home opener, I can't wait to be there, my maiden voyage and my season ticket. It's not that I'm negative. It's not that I think this is a disaster and it's the same old Jets and it's the Patriots. It's that this is going to be tough.
Right.
There are things about this football game that make me think it's going to be ugly. We're going to be scared. And I am worried that Jacoby Brissett won't make the mistakes that Will Levis made that essentially gave the Jets the football game.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, if they go up two scores, whether it's a two touchdowns or 10 points on that drive where he fumbled, it's a different game plan for the Jets to try to come back. You're likely not doing all the run stuff that they attempted to get to. You're likely not throwing two running backs on the field for a lot of that, second quarter and third quarter. You're going more empty. You're doing, all right, let's speed this thing up. Let's play with some urgency because we're not fully clicking, but we have to maximize every possession because there's only so many more you're going to get. I think the Patriots have an ingrained mentality around one side of the ball, and that's obviously on defense. They're one of the top defenses in football right now. Now, part of it is who they've played.
Well, they played the Bengals.
Right. But
they're supposed to be good.
But the Bengals are kind of flawed a little
bit. Right.
So they played I don't want to say a bad Bengals team, a Bengals team that played poorly, even though at 0-2, who knows what they are. Or what are they, 1-1?
0-2.
0-2, yeah, 0-2. Who knows what they ultimately are going to become. But I feel like the MO of the Patriots, despite losing Bill Belichick, didn't really change, right? And it's play good defense and play smart on offense. And that's always challenging. I don't care who you are, who your quarterback is, or what scheme you're trying to run, that's hard to attack. And so they got a challenge for them on Thursday.
It's not going to be easy.
No,
it is not going to be easy. We'll get to your calls. We started a few hours ago with the Giants and how while they may be 0-2 and while they may be buried by every Giant fan and every pundit, let's not forget what everyone said about the New York Mets at the beginning of their season. Mm-hmm. And here we are in the middle of September with a legitimate chance to make the postseason. We'll get more into the Mets a little bit later on, including checking in on their starting lineup as they take on the Washington Nationals and a potentially big decision for Aaron Boone to make. But let's get back to your phone calls with Gene in West Orange. What's up, Gene?
How you doing, guys? I gotta tell you, you gotta be kind of crazy to think this team is that good, or even mediocre at best. They what? Barely beat the Titans. I mean, this is it's almost a joke. Last year Salah is saying we're this close, we're one player away. This year they really don't look that good. I've been a Jet fan a long time. We know we can't expect too much, and I don't think they're going to beat the Patriots. I think this is going to be a mediocre team, and it's sad to see everyone on the radio talking them up.
Okay. Well, first of all, I feel a lot better because as you started your phone call, you reeked of a morash.
Same old Jets.
You reeked of someone who wanted to be haterific. Instead, I'm going to take a very different approach. I'm going to be a psychiatrist because that's a Jet fan. And I understand that you are negative and you are down. Couple of things. You're right that this defense has not looked great. You're right that there isn't necessarily an easy fix. You're right about that. But we are 2 weeks into a football season in which we've barely scratched the surface on what this offense can be.
Yeah.
They have an offensive line that's pass protecting, like literally I haven't seen since DeBrick and Nick Mangold back in the day. You have a quarterback who, while he may not be the guy he was winning COVID MVPs, is still a hell of a lot smarter than most quarterbacks he's facing who end up making the big mistake. You've got an elite-level wide receiver who hasn't even been opened up yet this season.
Right.
This offense has a chance to be great. So to come out here 2 weeks into the season and say, they barely beat Tennessee, this season must suck, is the height of Jet negativity.
Yeah, that's just not trusting whatever the process is. I know that's a cliche, but it is. It's true, though. It's only two games that he's been back, Aaron Rodgers.
And who cares how many points you win by?
Right. You just got to win. The Giants would take a win.
Yes.
Wouldn't we?
Yes.
Regardless.
Yeah.
Right? If.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no. I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date.
Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What was the kicker's name down in Washington? Say he misses that.
Austin Seibert.
Seibert misses that. And Giants go down and win. Yeah, it sucked. And you kind of backed your way into a victory. I'll take it. A win is a win is a win is a win.
There are concerns, but we're 2 weeks in.
Right.
And things can change very, very quickly. And while you're racking up the concerns, rack up the wins. Your baseball IQ trivia question is presented by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers and the all-electric Cadillac Lyric. When was the last time the New York Mets clinched either a playoff series or a playoff spot in their home building? The last time, as I used to say when I was a kid to my dad, when will the Mets jump on each other? Because they're celebrating. So either a series win or just clinching a playoff spot. When was the last time? We'll take caller number two at 866-540-WFAN to answer your baseball IQ trivia question. And you can win a $250 American Express gift card. Your baseball IQ trivia question is presented by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers and the all-electric Cadillac Lyric. Let's go to Matt on Long Island. Good afternoon, Matt.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. I actually have a question for Sean and a question for Keith, if you don't mind me asking
What's
two
up?
Separate questions. So, Sean, this is about the little tank agenda you got going. do you actually have faith in Joe Shane to evaluate and pick the right quarterback if you guys are picking top three?
Yeah, I mean, Matt, what do you think of the draft class so far this year?
It's too early to tell. You got some intriguing quarterbacks. Cam Ward is...
No. He's talking about the one that just happened.
Remember, Joe Shane is... Matt, this
again,
is...
Again, too early to tell. Caleb is floundering.
No, Matt, you misunderstand.
So far. Again, we're 2 games in.
Matt, the Giants seemingly through 2 games might have the best rounds 1, 2, and 3 pick combo in the league. That was done by Joe Shane. Joe Shane has been crushed for his initial draft class, which featured Evan Neal, which also coincided, by the way, with scouts remaining from Dave Gettleman's era that were fired after that draft concluded. So in Joe Shane's drafting, since those Gettleman guys have been dismissed, is a hell of a lot better. So the answer, short, yes, I do trust him evaluating a quarterback.
Okay, no, that's a fair... counterpoint, honestly. Didn't really think it that way.
I like that.
But, well done, Sean.
I'll own it. Sean, that's a great rebuttal. I have to respect it. But, so, Tiki, I called in a couple of weeks ago to ask you this, and I'm curious if you still have the same stance.
Go ahead.
If the Giants continue to play poorly and say you guys start 0-4, Gable's a little snippy with the media, things start to get really bad, at what point do you maybe consider they are on the hot seat, and at what point do you maybe consider benching Daniel Jones, even if he is playing well?
Yeah, well, if they get to, I mean, hot seat is a cliche word, and I don't even know what it really means. But I think before Dave gets on the hot seat, Daniel Jones will get benched.
Oh, no question.
And so if we go to week 4, and that's the Cowboys Thursday night game, which I'll be at, and he just looks terrible again at home against the Dallas Cowboys, he's likely not to be the starting quarterback for the Giants.
Yeah, he's going to be
benched. Better in week 2.
Yeah.
But if he looks terrible the next couple of weeks, they're going to let Dave's try to fix it with the guy they brought in or Tommy DeVito. It's probably going to be Drew Lock, which I don't necessarily love, but that's not my call. But I think the quarterback will be benched as the problem before internally they start saying, Dave, we got to fire you.
For people looking for a firing, looking for a removal of a head coach, the only way, and it could happen, mm-hmm. I'm not saying it can't happen, but the only way Brian Daboll is losing his job after year 3 is if something really bad and pathetic happens.
Yes.
Something so embarrassing that we don't see coming. Something so pathetic we don't see coming. That's what happened to Ben McAdoo. That's what happened to Joe Judge.
Yeah.
Specifically those two guys. I think Shermer's a little different. I think it was just overall, he ain't the guy. Like, it was kind of easy.
He just didn't handle head coaching like he handled coordinating.
Right. He's just a much better coordinator.
He's just a really good coordinator, as we saw in Minnesota, and even as you're seeing a little bit in Colorado. But he's much more of a coordinator than he was a head coach.
No question. But think about Judge and McAdoo.
because we got to learn from history and go back to what caused them to lose their jobs and what you thought about each head coach going into the season where they lost their job. Ben McAdoo was coming off a playoff season.
Yeah.
He was coming off a year in which, in his first year, the Giants made the playoffs. Like, it was going to take something so epically inept for him to lose his job. And it happened. We didn't see it coming. It was so bad, in fact, he didn't survive the season.
Yeah.
Imagine that. Imagine going back into a time machine. Like, you're able to talk to 2017 you, because that was the season this happened. So, we're talking to Morash, 2017. And I go to him right at the beginning of the season. I put my arm around him. Tiki, 2017. I put my arm around you, and I say, I got to say something amazing. Ben McAdoo, second year with the Giants, made the playoffs in year one. He's not even going to survive this season. Tiki Barber, you may have punched me. You may have said, Evan, that is, you're such a hater, that's so insulting, because something happened none of us saw coming.
I picked them to go to the Super Bowl.
I'm sure you did. Wow. And by the way, they won 11 games a year earlier.
They were one of the top eight favorites to make it that year.
Now, do the
were
same.
Were they really?
Yeah.
They were coming off an 11-win year, and people thought they were going to take the next step.
No doubt.
Wow. Still had Eli.
So now imagine Joe Judge, less extreme, obviously. They were coming off a year in which they only won six games, but everybody felt good about things. In fact, the biggest talking point at the end of the season was complaining about Doug Peterson, that the Eagles basically laid down and cost the Giants a chance to make the postseason, as undeservedly as that may be with a six-win season. We all love Joe Judge. We believed in Joe Judge. If I went to you before the 2021 season, and again, I put my arm around you, and I said, Joe Judge is going to be fired at the end of the year, you again would have thought I was nuts. So can something nutty happen with Brian Daboll? Of course it can. Like, we just saw it. But I don't think a regularly bad season would be enough for him to lose his job.
No, it's got to be epically bad, and I don't foresee that being the case.
Held the whole team together last year when they were 2-8.
Who? Oh.
I'm saying Daboll. Yes. Like, he already proved they can survive that. Yeah.
They played hard. They had so many injuries last year. It was like, it was hard to even know who was going to play each week. But they still won some games and could have won more. So you give them credit, even though the record was horrible. Going into this year, right, it's Daniel Jones coming back from an ACL injury. It's a new defensive staff. It was turmoil in the offseason. Let's not, like, sugarcoat it. It was bad. Like, the pieces that left, the coordinator issue, all that stuff. Saquon's contract. And you got to stabilize. You got to recreate the culture. And so he's got a challenge in front of him.
No doubt.
But you also, as a Giant fan, just you have to trust that he's the right guy to do it. You can't start just saying, oh, he sucks. He's not going to be the guy. Because that's not fair to him. We haven't seen it yet.
Let's go to Gary and T-Neck. How you doing, Gary?
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for taking my call.
What up, dude?
No problem.
First and foremost, Evan, I just want to say thank you for everything you've done. I grew up listening to the Fan. You have gotten me through great days and terrible days.
Well, I appreciate that. That's very nice of you. Thank you, sir.
That being said, I do have a question for Tiki.
What up?
So I work with a bunch of Giants fans. And after Sunday, I just keep hearing Devin Singletary is 80% of Saquon for less than half the price.
I don't even know what that means. it's talking about production? Like, what he's going to be?
Exactly. So they're saying you're going to get 80% of the production you would have got from Saquon at a Devin Singletary at a fraction of the cost. Now, I'm a Jets fan, but so maybe I'm biased, but do they have eyes? Like, Do they watch these two people play football?
Yeah, Saquon's in on a different level, and we know this, and Devin Singletary is a good player, and I'm not knocking him at all. He's just not Saquon, and so he knows that. But he's also very good at what he does. He's very consistent at what he does. And he was really good last weekend, except, you know, save for the fumble. And that's because he had the ball in the wrong hand. But I trust Devin Singletary to be solid when he needs to be solid, period. And I know he's going to be healthy because he always plays. So I get why people are obsessed with comparing what was recently just here versus what you have now. But what's the point? Right?
He shouldn't have worn 26. That was a mistake.
Why?
Because every time, and this is so unfair, I acknowledge that, every time the ball's handed off to him, there's a moment where you're like, oh, Saquon. And then you're like, wait a second, that's not Saquon.
Is that right?
Yes. I don't feel
like I don't think so.
Sean agreed with me 2 weeks ago. He's already flip-flopped. Trust me. Because you said the same thing.
Because I'm already so used to it. Now, I want to ask you this stat, Tiki, to lean on what the caller said. All right? Through 2 weeks in the NFL, Geno has the most missed tackles per touch?
Missed tackles per touch.
That's a stat.
Clearly, it's going to be Devin Singletary because you're setting it up to put him over.
Created missed tackles.
Yeah.
But by the way, that's just who he's always been.
And the least is Saquon.
Look at you. You're such a geek.
Is it really?
Yes, that's the stat.
He went to like the most next-gen stats he could find just to say, you see, Saquon Barkley's a disaster.
Put it this way. It's Devin Singletary.
Because he's rushed for over 200, what is it, 210?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah, but he left that part out, though.
Right. But the best guys in that stat right now are Singletary, J.K. Dobbins is running wild, the kid from the Niners, and Kenneth Walker, and Bijan Robinson.
That's all great. Here's the bottom line. And it's the same negatively for Saquon and negatively for Devin. Saquon Barkley dropped a first down pass that would have won a game for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing he did last night mattered once he committed that drop. Devin Singletary committed a brutal turnover, a turnover that changed everything about that game. In positive territory off a big run. And one thing that's sort of forgotten about what the Giants accomplished on Sunday is that Washington didn't stop him very often.
No.
They very rarely forced the Giants to punt.
It was them.
It was the Giants stopping themselves.
Yeah, but unfortunately, the Giants' defense forced the Commanders to punt not once.
Well, we didn't get to that part. I mean, that's the other issue that certainly needs to be cleaned up. Their defense needs to be a hell of a lot better. John and Maspeth, what's up, John?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up?
I got a quick thing to say before I ask Tiki a question. I've been thinking of today. You know, we've seen these rookie quarterbacks just failing, and a big part of that is the offensive line.
Yes.
You know, and you can't put a rookie quarterback behind an offensive line that's just letting people through. They're not going to be able to learn. They're not going to be able to grow. It's just a bad recipe.
Right.
And Tiki.
That's definitely the issue in Washington, at least the first week, maybe not necessarily last week, but it is what Caleb Williams' issue is. They cannot run the ball at all.
Yeah, that's what Caleb's issue is.
And that offensive line has been bad. We've
seen it with Sam Darnold,
right?
Zach Wilson. We've seen it with Daniel Jones last year. You know, it's just why put a rookie quarterback behind a crappy offensive line? Now, speaking of offensive line, Stinky, in your 10 years, right? The year which you felt the Giants had the best offensive line, and the year you felt the Giants had the worst offensive line of your career. How was it for you as a running back experiencing those two differences?
So,
like, you know, were the gaps wider? Did you have more space to run?
It was just consistency. So the worst offensive line that I had was a function of age. Like, the guys that were there for me, it was Kerry Collins's second year, I believe, he got hurt in that year, and Jesse Palmer ended up being the quarterback, but we were just aged. It was like Lomas Brown and Glenn Parker, some of these older offensive linemen, and once they got hurt or aged out, then we just had these inexperienced guys.
Mm.
But the Giants quickly fixed it, right? And they brought in guys like Sean O'Hara and Richie and David Deal, and all those guys that we talk about now. Kareem McKenzie came in free agency. And it, like, quickly got good. And so I don't think I had that many years with a bad offensive line.
Yeah, it's also, like, there's different forms of a bad offensive line.
Yeah.
There's run blocking. There's pass protection. I mean, look at the Jet offensive line through 2 weeks. Yes. Like, their pass protection has been, maybe elite's too strong of a word, but it's been really, really, really good.
No doubt.
And they haven't exactly opened up huge holes, especially in week one for Breece Hall and Braylon Allen.
Yeah, but
so
week two was better.
Week two was a lot better.
But it's also, it's new pieces.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, I get that.
There's three, or really, I mean, you really, it's really four.
It's a lot of new pieces, because even Elijah Vera Tucker missed so much time.
He didn't play for the first 2 years, basically, of his career.
Absolutely.
And so it's just, and Tippmann wasn't, like, the guy for a lot of the season a year ago.
And he's learning. Back in the early part of training camp, he couldn't, you know, he basically couldn't snap the football on shotguns.
Right.
At least luckily he's cleaned that up. By the way, we asked that baseball IQ trivia question earlier. I think it's only fair for the audience to give you an answer in case you were playing the game at home, which was, when was the last time the Mets either clinched a playoff series or a playoff spot in their own building? It is amazing to say
that in 2022, when they clinched a playoff spot, they did it on the road. In 2016, when they clinched a playoff spot, they did it in Philadelphia. In 2015, when they won the National League pennant, they did it in Chicago. When they won the divisional series that year, they did it in L.A. When they clinched the division that year, they did it in Cincinnati. Let's keep going.
Yeah.
2006, when they won the divisional series, they did it in L.A. The last time the Mets had a celebration at home was when they clinched the National League East in 2006. And believe it or not, tomorrow is the anniversary of said day. 18 years ago, September 18th, 2006, the Mets were playing on a weeknight against the Florida Marlins, and they beat them that day. And that day, and it was kind of like we knew it was coming, so it was a party. It wasn't a dramatic thing. We knew they were winning the division for a while, but the Mets won the division that night. That is the last time the Mets had any kind of clinching celebration in their own building.
That's a long time ago.
It's a long time ago.
That was before my last season.
And some of that is lack of Mets success, but a lot of it, as I described, is just bad luck.
Yeah.
A lot of it's just happened on the road. And by the way, if the Mets make the playoffs, they're clinching on the road.
Yes. Right, because their last two series are on the road.
And if they're in the wild card series, it is likely that that series will be exclusively on the road. We'll see if they could jump over San Diego. Probably not.
Hold on.
That'll be on the road, too.
If Atlanta loses the next six, because there's six, right?
Are you trying to figure out if the Mets could clinch this weekend?
Yeah, I'm just asking.
You're a sick man.
I'm just thinking.
I already know the answer, and the answer is yes, they can.
They can.
Yes.
So if they win six in a row and end up whatever.
They could clinch Sunday night against the Phillies if the Braves lose every game and the Mets win every game.
Huh. Interesting.
But then, come on, T.
Interesting.
You want to know more realistically?
Go ahead.
And this is certainly a conversation that we may end up having, but I'm going to get ahead of it now because it is very much on the table.
Well, how did I know you would already have looked this up?
Well, it's a little different. It's a variation to something you said.
This is a Rico research?
No, no, this is for us. I wouldn't even talk about this on the Rico. Oh. This is related to something Sean was talking about earlier. It's about Philadelphia. It is very likely that the Philadelphia Phillies could clinch the National League East at Citi Field over the weekend, which is a part of why this weekend is such a hot ticket at Citi Field.
Oh, because it's not Mets.
Yeah, fans. I don't think it is because I think the Philly fan wants to see their team clinch. They've got a chance to do it. Geography, very close. Right. So let me just get ahead of this for my fellow Mets fans. We may have an embarrassing weekend in terms of fans. I'm just letting you know.
Because, by the way, that's what we would do.
Yeah, it's what we tried to do in 86.
Yeah.
When Met fans drove down there.
Right, but we would do it now.
Yes, and 2016, too, by the way. I think Met fans filled up Citizens Bank to clinch a wild card spot. So there's been a lot of talk about Met attendance, which we'll get more into in a couple minutes. There's actually a bunch of people that want to talk about it on the phones, and I do want to bring it up. I do want to warn you that this conversation about Met attendance, it's going to look worse this weekend because I fully expect that the reason this weekend is a hot ticket is because of what I just laid out. The Philadelphia Phillies have a chance to celebrate winning the National League East at Citi Field.
Well, the good news is for Met fans.
Why are you talking right now? Like, what could you possibly say?
I'm going to make you feel better, Ev.
Loogie, before you say anything, Sean.
Loogie, prediction,
do you think he's going to say something that's going to make any of us feel better?
No, he's going to be a D-bag. Okay. No, because I don't like Philly.
Okay, so Loogie's going D-bag. What do you think, Teak? You think he's going to say something that's going to make anybody feel better?
I think he's going to say something that makes Met fans want to go to the game.
Okay. Sean, the floor is yours.
The good news is Philly's not going to be able to celebrate too much. There's nowhere to even grab a beer after the game outside Citi Field.
So you took a shot at the surrounding area?
Yes.
That's not making anybody feel better.
You win that game, all those Philly fans right back down the turnpike. Yeah, nowhere to go.
Here's the bottom line about this. Obviously, the Mets can win every game and shut them up, and that's nice and easy, and that's a nice thing to say. But I could say that about when the Nets play the Knicks this season.
Yeah.
Big freaking deal. And my building is still invaded by people rooting for the other team. And I'm telling you right now, I have a really strong feeling that that's going to happen over the weekend. And in the middle of a pennant race where we're battling for a playoff spot, that's not going to be fun.
No.
I'm just saying.
It's kind of demoralizing.
But I'm warning everybody.
What's the number for them to win?
So the Phillies right now lead by 8 in the National League East. They
what is it, 12 games left?
Yeah, so basically the Mets win every single game the rest of the year. They win-ish 94. Phillies have to, the magic number is either 4 or 5, depending on tiebreakers.
Right.
So they could do it, I guess, technically beforehand, but probably not. No, it's, dude, let's just be honest. The Phillies are clinching at Citi Field this weekend. It's a fait accompli. Did I use that correctly?
Yeah.
It's a fait accompli. It's going to happen. It's going to suck. Now, not the end of the world, as long as we win three out of... What?
Fait accompli. I think it finally hit me.
What?
A fate that's complete.
No, that's not what that means.
No?
Thank you, Tommy.
I thought I finally hit it. I've heard that forever, and it just hit me what that probably is.
He thinks it's an appetizer at the Olive Garden.
Fait accompli, a fate that's already complete.
I think it's French for something or other.
Okay. Thanks for that.
For the record, I didn't have my mic on.
Look it up.
For the record, I've never heard of it. So
you've never heard accompli? Fait
accompli? No, God, no.
Sounds like a dirty movie that I tried to watch when I was a kid behind the curtain.
I mean, it's a common phrase. I just mispronounce it sometimes.
It means an accomplished fact.
Yeah, like it's a fait accompli that the Phillies are going to clinch the NL East at Citi Field, and it's going to suck.
Dictionary, a thing that has already happened or been decided before those affected hear about it.
Yes.
Wouldn't that be a fate that's complete?
Leaving them with yes, you're right. Leaving them with no option but to accept it.
Yeah, there's no option but to accept at some point this weekend. The Phillies are going to clinch the NL East. It sucks. Now, it doesn't mean the Mets are going to miss the playoffs. It doesn't mean they're going to get swept this weekend, but that's going to happen in our own building, and it's been made easier by the fact that Met fans aren't going to games. So the Philly fan is just buying up all the tickets.
Fate comes from the word factum, the Latin word factum.
And what's worse about this, here's what's worse about this. And you, Loogie, can deal with it from a, hey, you know, wash my hand, you wash yours. I'm not a Knick fan. I didn't take joy in invading their own building. You guys did, and I respect the hell out of it, and I gave you credit for it. This is going to be their revenge on us, and I got to deal with
it. Not the same fan base.
It may not be the same fan base, but it's the bottom line is people from that city are invading my building, our building, over the weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sucks. And I'm telling you, down in Philly, we got our revenge for what happened at Wells Fargo Center.
Beat them in the wild card. I mean, beat them in the division round.
Yeah, you're right. That would be nice, but that doesn't change this weekend. This weekend is still going to suck.
Yes. Ugh. Suck it up. Deal with it.
No, I am. I'm going to deal with it. Listen, I can't go to Saturday's game because I'm taking my youngest son, Spence, to a birthday party. And trust me, I sucked it up really well when I sold my tickets for a great profit for the first time this season.
To a Philadelphia Philly fan?
At this point, for the bloodbath I've taken this season financially, that's a financial term.
Hold on a second.
Right, I did.
Whoa. Seriously, though.
What?
Did you sell it to a Met fan or a Phillies fan?
I don't know who bought the ticket.
You should have asked.
I have been hammered this season in the worst possible way with Met tickets. And that's my own decision, right? I made my own decision. I've lived with it. That's why I know so much about how the Mets draw and how they're doing and why they're doing and all that crap. Because I live it every single day. It matters to me. When I can't go to a game on Saturday, and I have no regrets about that, my son Spence wants me to take him to that birthday party. The birthday party happens to be at 4 o'clock when the game is. I'm going to tell all the fathers I'm DVRing the game. Shut your mouths. I'm sure they'll appreciate that. So I can't go to the game, and I got no regrets. I'm going Sunday with my oldest son. We're going to have a great time, except if the Phillies clinch the NL East. I have lost so much money with my Met tickets this season that I don't give a damn if it's the Philly fanatic that bought those tickets to sit in 318. He's going to sit in 318.
So you're letting the invaders through the front door. You're not even allowing them to go through the back door. You're opening the door. You're giving them a cookie, and you're saying, welcome to Citi Field.
What are you doing about it? Have you bought any tickets for this weekend?
Well, no. As you know, people have to buy them for me.
Okay, so you haven't bought any tickets. I assume no one on this radio station is buying tickets. So if you're not buying tickets to stop them, what the hell do you want me to do?
So I don't know why you're going on the offensive. Let's stick to you. You're selling your tickets to Phillies fans.
No, I sold my tickets to the highest bidder.
Philly fans.
Highest bidder.
Because we know Met fans haven't been really spending a lot of money on tickets, so I'm just going to use, I'm not a detective, but it's a
assumption
Philly fan.
It's a Phillies fan.
But what are Philly fans known for, Evan?
Being ugly.
And acting like D-bags.
Mm-hmm.
What if a Philly fan who bought your ticket just causes an absolute ruckus with haymakers and you get your season tickets revoked?
You're banned like Bart Simpson.
Let me give you a little guarantee. I think the Mets need me a hell of a lot more than I need them. I think I'll be okay. I think they'll want me to re-up and continue to hand them ridiculous amounts of money for tickets that I cannot get rid of until the Phillies are about to clinch the NL East. Evan and Tiki on the Fan as the Mets get set to take on the Washington Nationals game two of that three-game series. One thing that did surprise me was not necessarily that they had a bad crowd last night. I think, Sean, you asked me off air what type of crowd you think they'll have, and I said I think it's going to be small. It's a Monday night. It's just not going to be that high, and the Mets have had bad attendance this season. I didn't think it'd be as low as what they announced. They announced like 21,000 people,
wow,
which is a very low number. What I was surprised about was how Gary Cohen brought it up on the broadcast. Take a listen.
Shockingly small crowd for a pennant race game.
I agree.
Shockingly small. I mean, he's not wrong. Spot the lie. There is no lie. I was just very surprised that they mentioned
taking shots at Met fans.
Yeah. Look, I think that the answer to this is a very simple answer, even if you don't like the answer. Teams usually draw better after they have success, a year after they have success. So the Mets next year will draw well. They will. 2025, the Mets will have a good attendance season. Obviously, what they do in the offseason will certainly help as well. But if you look back at their history and the Yankees' history, and the Yankees are a juggernaut now, so they're like almost an unfair comparison. They basically get 38,000 every single night.
Right.
They are such a proven commodity. They win every year. Now, they may not win a World Series every year, but they have winning years every year. I think that if you look back at the mid-90s, which is a better indicator, that's when the Yankees started to turn their attendance around. Like 97, they drew better than 96, and they won the World Series in 96. So a lot of this is that people don't believe, and it takes time for them to believe. Would it be nice? Certainly as someone, I'm going to be in the building tonight. I can't go every game. I used to. I can't, so I can't demand everyone else go every game. I can't go every game.
So you're part of the problem.
Dude, if you're going to call a guy who goes to half the games a part of the problem,
I'm joking.
Then we got problems.
I really meant because you're selling your tickets to a Philadelphia Philly fan.
What is a season ticket holder supposed to do when they can't go to every game?
Give them to somebody?
Yeah, but the problem is when you have to tell your wife that you dropped a lot of money on tickets and hopefully you can get some of it back
that's not really the complete cost. That really good friend who wants to go to a game, take their kid.
I've done that before. Just not enough, because you know what? I got to bring somebody back.
Just not on Saturday when they clinch the division.
Not on Saturday when I've got, you know, a chance to actually do well. Look, you got to remember this. Most of us who are season ticket holders, like most of us, can't go to every game.
Yeah. I imagine it's hard.
There was a time in my life in which I did go to every game. Like, I'll be honest with you. Like, before I was married and have kids, I would go to 70 games a year.
Yeah.
Which is a crazy number. I can't do that anymore. And most of us can't just throw the money away. So you have to sell it, but the problem is nobody wants to buy them. Mm. I can't tell you how many games I didn't sell. I ended up giving away. So I think a lot of it is what expectations are. And so I'm not going to lecture anybody because I don't blame someone for not wanting to spend their money to go somewhere. You should spend your money how you want to spend your money.
Yeah, it just gets hard, though, when you know that the team is, like, maybe it's a little bit overblown, but it is nice as a player to see a full
nice
ballpark.
As a player, Teak, it's nice as a fan. Like, there is an incredible energy when there's a full stadium, man. I love it. Bathroom lines be damned. Like, yeah, selfishly, it may not be as easy, but there's an amazing electricity when there's a full house. I wish there was tonight,
but
there's not going to be.
I still remember, like, having big plays and not realizing what was happening, but when I'd go back and watch it, I'd look at the fans. That's what it's for.
That's got to be magical.
It's just awesome, right, when you see what happens when you have big plays and... Not enough of the Met fans were there for the Mets themselves to see those reactions.
I need to say something, and this is going to qualify under Evan's assumption that I'm going to say something douchey.
Yeah, go ahead. Is it douchey?
This one is, but it's also accurate.
He's admitting it beforehand.
I just want to get ahead of it to brace yourself to the reaction. I never want to hear from a Met fan again that the Subway Series doesn't matter to them because Citi Field is always sold out for
packed.
A game in July and June.
Packed.
These are the most important games of your year, and you can't sell them out. You can't even get close to a half sellout.
In fairness, here's why you're wrong about
But how
that.
Many of those were Yankee fans?
Exactly. If there's 42,000 to fill a stadium, and you think it's half Yankee fans, that's only 21,000 Met fans.
Was it half? I mean, we were there.
I don't think it was half, but it was like 60-40. So what's 60% of 42,000? What is it?
I don't know. It's
in the mid-20s.
Look, when Tiki don't want to go down a rabbit hole, you know he's really not interested in the match.
I just don't feel like thinking right now.
No, but the answer to your question is the Yankee fans sell out the building, much like Philly fans are going to help sell out the building over the weekend. It's tough because I can't blame somebody or tell somebody they should spend money to go to a sporting event. I choose to do it when I can. I don't do it as much as I used to, like I talked about. Well, but do I miss seeing filled ballparks? It's not as if it wasn't filled 2 years ago. It was.
Yeah. Is the challenge that there's just not a ton of season ticket holders?
I'm sure they lost a bunch over the years. I think that contributes to it.
And
sure.
So it's not necessarily the season ticket holders that aren't going and they're just not filling their seats. It's just the game day sales.
Right? Yeah.
The box office. Hey, just walk up and buy a ticket. That's not happening.
Yeah. It's not happening. And I hope I get this.
That's also to Sean's point, though, the location. It's just not.
You can't make a night.
You know what? Let's just go.
Here's why you guys are so wrong about that. They've drawn well before. So when anyone brings up, like, it's a Monday or, well, Mondays do affect crowds,
I don't want to minimize that.
Or what's around the ballpark? Dude, they've drawn before.
I know, but that's not my point. My point is if you weren't planning on going, if you haven't planned your day, and you're like, you know what, let's just go to the ballpark. It's really hard to do that at City.
So you're less likely to make the last-second decision.
Yes, whereas if you are. Even if you live in Manhattan and you want to go to a Yankee game, you're like, yeah, just take the subway.
Right.
It drops you off right there.
Well, you got that with the Mets, though. You take the LIRR, you take the 7 train, it's easy.
It's different.
I know that you're not like this because you're the scorekeeping, let me get in the game, set my lineup. People are looking for a night out, and that helps the incentivization.
No, I understand, but my point is, like,
yes,
the best comparison to the Mets attendance woes is not other teams. It's not other cities. It's the Mets from last year, the year before, or 5 years ago, because it's the same city
in
the same location.
In 22?
Better than this.
Like, significantly? Or
You can easily find out. So, if you look at weeknight games, they were probably in the high 20s and low 30s. Because weeknight games are still not the easiest to draw, especially in September.
Yeah.
So, I'm not saying they should be sold out on a Monday night against the Nationals. But they were significantly higher. Put it this way, and you can look it up, but I'll give you a factoid. Last night's crowd was smaller than any crowd they had in 2022.
Wow.
Okay. So, think about it that way. So, I don't think, because I know you said this to me off air, Sean, I'm not like getting on you for it. I'm just correcting you that it doesn't matter. Talking about the crowd in Cleveland or the crowd in San Diego is irrelevant. It's a different city with different weather, with different fans. Like, compare it to Met fans, the same fans from 2 years ago. How did they do in September of 2022? How'd they do in September of 2021? When, by the way, we were still coming back from a pandemic. So how'd they do in September of 2016 when they were having a massively disappointing season after winning the National League pennant?
Yeah.
So how'd they do? And the answer is better in all of those years.
So this day, exactly, in 2022, it was 40,000.
What day of the week?
It was a Saturday.
Yeah, don't count
so
that.
So this day, which let's go back to the Tuesday preceding.
There you go. I bet you it'll be about 27,000.
It was Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
It was close. 26,4.
Yeah, which is, by the way, not a great crowd.
No.
But it's better than what we saw last night. And my fear is, when they pack the building for the Phillies this weekend, it's going to be like 40% Philly fans.
Yeah. Somebody did a post-it and toast-it on Evan in real time on my timeline.
Go ahead.
You posted the picture of September 15th, 2022, with the caption, Pennant Race Baseball, with maybe a smaller crowd than last night.
But it wasn't.
It was 25,000.
Yeah. It was probably a crowd I was disappointed in, but worse than what we saw last
maybe
night.
Maybe they were overselling the attendance announcement in 2022.
So you think it was the same attendance, but
they,
was being oversold?
Maybe they had more season ticket holders, so they announced more?
Maybe.
And in reality, the same amount of people are still going.
Look, the only thing that one can do is compare it to the past. And again, that's the only comparison that makes sense. I don't think comparing it to other teams works because it's just everything's so different.
And it's hard to test your hypothesis that because of the success of 2022, 2023 would have been higher.
Right.
Because 2023 became such a disaster.
Yeah, but they bought that. You know what?
But by this time, you just weren't going.
Right. But you know what? You bought the tickets. Check out the Mets attendance in September of 2023. Maybe it was better than 2022 because of that reason where you start to draw better after the fact. Here's the honest thing, and I hope I get to be proven right about this. If this team makes the postseason and they are hosting a postseason game and there's a long road to go, they got to make the playoffs. If they're one of the bottom two wild card teams, that first round is exclusively on the road.
Yeah.
So they potentially may not host a postseason game until game 3 of the National League Divisional Series. And obviously, they've got to earn their way there. But I believe if the Mets make the postseason, not only will the stadium be packed, I think it'll be completely jumping. I think it'll be crazy.
So the Tuesday, I'll go back to the Tuesday. It's the 12th of September. So it's because they were on the road this weekend.
Yes.
33,500.
How about that?
See?
Oh, you're right.
It's always the year
it's
after.
It's always the lag year.
Let's go to Evan in Woodmere. What's up, Evan?
Hey, Evan. I'm glad you guys brought this up because I was at the game last night. And I'm glad this is making waves because I was at the game last night with my brother, and I turned to him in about the fourth inning, and I go, this is a pathetic crowd. And Evan, I'll tell you, you're consistent because you said the same thing on the Rico in terms of, like, it's the year after when a team starts to draw again.
Yes.
But I think you're being a little too generous here that this is pennant race baseball. We cry on WFAN. I can't think of the amount of people that call in and cry about Steve Cohen. And the only way to get people to show up to the ballpark, this guy's spending money out of his butt. And the only way to get money to the ballpark is to give out some damn Hello Kitty bobblehead. This is the pennant race.
You know what? I would have to go look at that September giveaway.
Yeah.
Because that day that I gave you, Tuesday, September 12th, 33,000.
Yeah.
You know what the follow-up was?
What was
it? It was all against Arizona. Arizona 2 and then a 3. 4 for Arizona. This was the second day of the Arizona series. And then 3 against Cincinnati. The next day. 22,000.
Yeah.
The day after that, 22,000.
Yeah, so sometimes you got to be bribed to go to the ballpark. Here's the thing, Evan. I want the place to be packed, obviously. Like I said, being at a baseball game or any sporting event in which there's an energy and it's jammed and there's electricity is better.
Right.
But do you want me to yell at Met fans right now? Come on, Met fans, spend your hard-earned money.
No, I don't.
Like, you got to make your own freaking decision what you want to do.
It's not going to make a difference.
It's not going to make a difference, but also, like, you have to ultimately decide what you want to spend your money on. But I think in sports, it's the year after. Like, the New York Knicks are a hotter ticket this upcoming season than they were last year.
Right.
Because the expectations have grown. There's a belief in the team. Now, the team could stink. Who the hell knows? Guys can get hurt. Things can go the other way. But it's always the following season. Sean's got a Cinco de Favo list. We'll get back to your calls. Plus, Aaron Boone could make a decision that could change everything about the postseason. The question is, does he have the guts to make it? And it involves one of their more popular players. We'll get to it coming up. Calling all HVAC contractors. Cooler weather is rolling in and you need a brand of equipment that won't let you down. Visit becomeadealer.com/American Standard to learn why American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning has a reputation for doing things right. Get local support, the best product lineup, award-winning excellence, robust marketing, and learn why American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning is built to a higher standard. You won't just represent a top-quality product. You'll add a team dedicated to your growth and profitability. Visit becomeadealer.com/American Standard to learn more today.
Are you a small business? Have you heard of Amazon Hub Delivery? Well, let me tell you about it. Amazon Hub Delivery is partnering with small businesses to deliver packages in their communities with their existing resources. It's a great way to earn some extra income, deliver a service, bring some smiles to your neighborhood, and maybe even pick up some new customers. Here's how it works. Each day, Amazon will deliver packages to your business. Then you and your staff will deliver those packages to customers in your area when you have time during the day. You get paid for every package. That's your extra source of income. And they also have a referral program, which has been helpful for community organizations to both help their members and supplement their income. Referral partners can earn up to $500 per partner that signs up. To learn more, go to amazon.com/hubdelivery. That's amazon.com/HUB delivery.
Get in on the action with Jackpocket, America's number one lottery app. New customers, your first Powerball or Mega Millions ticket is free when you download the Jackpocket.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. you get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.